Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolutionary Hardcore episode 230 is coming your way. Today we have a special episode. We're going to talk about using injectable steroids solo by Ultima Pharma. So we're going to go over, is running injectable steroids okay? Why you would want to do it that way? First cycle ideas, different esters, short and long. And we're going to talk about the Ultima Pharma solo options. We're going to go through a list of their most popular injectable options and how to run them. A lot of people want to know that, so we're going to spend some good time on that one. And then why Ultima Pharma is so special. First, remember, we are on Apple. We are on Spotify now. We're on different platforms out there. If there's a platform that does podcasts, there's a good chance that we're going to be on there. We really appreciate smashing the like button, subscribing, and commenting, and doing all that stuff that helps the algorithms pick up our podcast so that other people can listen to it. We're the only podcast that talks about this stuff. We're the only podcast that is a community podcast, and we are the only podcast that has the balls to talk about the stuff that we're going to talk about. So let's get right into it, Mobster. I'll give you the floor to start out. So why don't you start off talking about, is running injectable steroids okay, and talk about that.
Yeah, so listen, the reason why we do these shows sometimes is because this topic, this question has come up. And my immediate response straight away, Steve, was going, well, if we do TRT, and TRT is typically one form of testosterone, one kind of injectable, then the obvious answer is yes, straight away. So that's obviously number one. You go, okay, that would be a very short show. So we need to sort of say why, and then the reasons why we might run a steroid, especially an injectable steroid, as we're talking about today, solo, and the thought process behind it and so on. So there's multiple reasons, Steve. Look, number one would be, if you was a newbie, you come into the thought of using PEDs, even TRT, as I've just said, what's your thought thinking process? What's your research coming up? You've done a little bit of research, you're listening to this show or some of our other shows, and you're kind of thinking to yourself, do I need to stack other injectable steroids? Do I need a kickstart? Do I need a finisher? Do I need to do all these other things? I've never used a steroid before, Steve. I've never used a steroid before. Mobster, I'm thinking of going with injectables, so straight away, this is my thought process. And then we would ask you questions like, what's the aim of your cycle? What are you trying to get out of it? How old are you? Are you in condition? And so on. So we take all those things, and we kind of hope that with the acquired knowledge, the collective knowledge, myself, Steve, the guys on the forum, the moderators, both members that are going to come and help you, we can guide you best as to what's the best approach for you. When we start to look at stuff like, don't need to overcomplicate it. There's a great phrase which applies to many, many, many things, and it's like KISS, keep it simple, stupid. You don't need to dive in at the deep end with a blend and not know what's working. Equally, and I've said this many times on the show, Steve, you don't need to try every steroid solo. The reason for that, again, is that acquired knowledge and that acquired experience. But at the same time, you might respond differently from other people. So one of the tricks, historically speaking, one of the kind of foundational injectable steroid cycles that nearly everybody did, and we will touch upon this as an obvious one, is the idea of using some form of testosterone. Now, whether that's a short ester or a longer ester, whatever. And how many times, Steve, and it's almost a bro science thing, as the classic example of a simple, straightforward testosterone or steroid cycle in the form of testosterone being 500 milligrams per week. Keep it simple, keep it 8 weeks, just to see how you respond. Now, the reason why you might respond differently and why you might want to use different steroids comes down to a few factors. And it could be, for example, absolutely, someone who's 25 or 26 will respond differently to the same stack or cycle or single solo injectable steroid than I would at 61 or Steve would in his 40s. It's just the facts. Then you've got, even if we had a pair of identical twins, one was slightly fatter, a little bit of higher percentage of body fat than the other one, I would argue that you will see a small difference between the slightly fatter and the slightly leaner, and so on. So we look at factors like this. And then we get to different things. Certain steroids can be used to bulk better, more optimally, and certain steroids are used to cut better, more optimally. There's an argument to be made for if your diet's on point and your training's on point, you can still bulk up on a cutter and you can still cut on a bulker. But the reality is, again, it's that sort of general consensus, that collective experience of millions of users over the last 60-something years that gives us a reasonable argument to be made for certain products working in a certain way for the majority of people. And we, on this show, we can't say we've got this particular user coming onto this show like we do on our guest shows, and we can talk about the reasons why they do this, that because it's specific to them. So we have to put out information that is generally applicable to the majority of our audience. So let's start with that sort of why. Why? I mean, an obvious thing, like I said, I don't think everybody needs to try all steroids, but you should always have a decent kind of foundational idea of what works for you. And as I said, so let's use that example that I mentioned earlier on, Steve. I would argue that if the average Joe that listened to this show is thinking about using steroids, was to use somewhere between 300 and 600 milligrams of, for example, testosterone and amphate, you're looking that someone's going to add a certain amount of lean tissue. All things being equal, if they're using an AI, if they're in reasonable condition, if the diet and the training's on point, I would expect someone like that to add about 5 pounds of muscle on a straightforward 8 to 12 week cycle. Does that apply to everybody? No. Does everybody want that particular thing? No. And here's another thing, Steve. And again, if you don't need to make things complicated, if, for example, you're going to use what we call a cutter, then you don't need to add in other steroids that will either muddy the results, so you don't know what was the most effective thing for you. And equally, are you using something that perhaps should have been better used as a bulker? Did you actually need to have this other product in there, and so on? Without talking about injectable steroids, you and I have done multiple shows where we said that, especially back in the day, so many people used Anabol. So many people was able to bulk up on Anabol. So many people got great results from it. I've run Anavar solo. And as I said earlier on, Steve, TRT is essentially, for the most part, a single form of testosterone. There's nothing else in the vial. There's nothing else in the syringe. It's just one form of testosterone. It's just a slightly longer ester. So we know how great TRT can be using what is a solo injectable steroid. What's your thoughts on the why? Why do we need to use stacks? Do we need to kickstart and finish?
Well, some certain injectable steroids are not great to run solo. So I'll bring up the example of Masterin, for example, which is one that Ultima Pharma has. And we're going to talk about that shortly. But let's say you were just to get on Masterin and run 500 milligrams a week. What's it going to do for you? It's going to harden you up a little bit, maybe make you a little more vascular. It's going to bind to your SHBG, give you more free testosterone floating in your body. But at the end of the day, it's not going to do much else because it is simply a cosmetic steroid. Now, another steroid like testosterone or trenbolone is going to work great solo because they're both anabolic and androgenic enough to give you results and give you the bang for the buck. So you spend the same amount of money, you get the same amount of milligrams, spend the same amount of money on Masterin versus testosterone or trenbolone solo, and you'll notice completely different results. So why would you want to do it? And it just depends on each individual situation. Let's start on the other end of the spectrum, Mobster. Some of these guys over the years, the Boston Lloyds and the Rich Pianas and these crazy protocols that they've done, the Monstro protocol, where they run multiple steroids, 7, 8, 9, 10 different steroids all at once. What are they really doing there? Basically, what they're doing, it's like that witch on Halloween. She's got that big pot and she's putting stuff in there and she's mixing it. And she adds this, she adds that, she adds this, she adds that. Or if you go to Louisiana and you eat Cajun food, a soup, you order their gumbo soup. Who the hell knows what's in it? They put it on just a bunch of ingredients and hot water and hot broth, and they serve it to you. Who the hell knows what's in it? It could be pieces of human flesh in there, could be anything in there. Like, you don't know. It's just a bunch of ingredients that they whip up back in the kitchen and they throw it in there, and people spend $25 on that gumbo, you know? And it's the same thing. So let's just put in a bunch of stuff. Let's just take a bunch of steroids and hope it works for us. Doing solo is the opposite. Going solo is I'm going to focus in on one steroid. I'm going to not multitask. Whatever happens on the cycle will give me a good idea of how I react to that steroid. And that's the advantage of doing these steroids solo. You will learn specifically how your body reacts to it when used by itself. And then when you start stacking two steroids, then three steroids, then four steroids, and maybe five steroids, if you decide to turn professional and onward, you will know how these specific steroids are working for you and how your body's reacting to them. Do they help you cut? Do they help you bulk? Do they mess with your estrogen? Do they give you acne? Do they do this? Do they do that? Do they shed your head hair? Do they cause joint problems? By doing it this way, you really get a good sense of how these steroids work. If you start out just running three, four steroids every cycle, and something happens on cycle, let's say you shed ha your head hair, and you're like, you don't know which steroid caused it because you're using three or four of them. You could make an educated guess and say, maybe it's the Winstrol, maybe it's the Masterin, these are DHTs, maybe it's the Tren. I don't know. But again, when you mix them, it throws stuff off. Like example, when I ran Tren and Winstrol together, I shed a lot of head hair. But if I run Tren by itself, I don't shed head hair very much. And if I wouldn't run Winstrol by itself, I don't shed head hair as much. So, but if you combine them, sometimes combining them causes a completely different reaction when it comes to a side effect. So this can be very advantageous by running some of these injectables solo and really just seeing how your body reacts to it, mobster.
I'm just thinking, and you used a Monstro example earlier on. A Monstro was, I'm going to say, in his way, the late Monstro, which was a member of our forums, was typical of the kind of thought processes in terms of mixing different products together. Now, we know that certain products work together well. We know, for example, so we know that all he was eating at that particular point, Steve, was his mama's food. Now, over the years, he gets into training, he gets into shape, he starts to think about competing. And as he starts to think about competing, he goes, what do I need to do? Do I need to be more vascular? Do I need to be dry? Do I need to be lean? All the time, he starts to train at the kind of professional level of volume. By his own admission, Steve, typically 25 sets of workout. So he needs a certain degree of energy to get through the workout and hold on to muscle mass while being lean pretty much all the time. I don't think he ever really got out of shape. The problem with that, again, of course, is you start to add in other steroids. So now you're using steroids to hold on to muscle. For example, Primo doesn't really bulk you up, doesn't really get you in shape, but it helps you retain muscle while being lean, while you're cutting. Maybe using something like EQ or Winstrol to be more vascular, to stay dry. What else is he doing? Now he's bringing in growth hormone. Now he's bringing in insulin. So he's doing all these different things. And then we know, because we've done shows on this, and we know how professional steroid stacks work, there's a certain synergy. But at some point, especially if you're not peaking for a competition, especially if you're not reducing certain products to as the date of competition approaches, if you're just doing this, and we know Monstro did do this year fucking round, you're now using multiple peptides and growth hormone and insulin and other products, experimental products that are coming out all the time just to do certain things for hair, your skin, and so on and so forth. And at least, as Steve says, five different steroids. And the reality of that is it might make sense to the person at the time. But for anybody else looking in, you'd literally have to say, okay, you're running high dosages of some of these steroids. You're kind of getting away from the synergistic effect of, for example, stacking two or three steroids because you're now at five or six. And you're kind of almost like C said, with the broth, the soup, the whatever it was, Steve. There's literally everything fucking in there, and you kind of gone away from what you started out with. It kind of, I see this happen all the time, Steve. Not just in bodybuilding with steroids, but other things where, because something new, this especially applies to the younger guys, something new comes out. Well, I should try that, but I've got to put it in addition to what I'm already doing. Or something else has come out. Or the latest phone's come out. It's got all these extra features. Are you going to use all those extra features? Do you need all those ingredients? Do you need to stack six steroids? Are you a high responder? Are you seeing a difference every time you add something in? And I would say that for the most part, no. If the great and vast majority of the normal Joes that are listening to this show just want to get muscle or just want to get leaner or just want to get stronger, you do not need to have half a dozen different things going on all at the same time and muddying the water. And let me use one more thought here. I'm just thinking back to what we euphemistically describe as prep coaches. Some coaches, and especially at the top end where you're a high-end athlete, he's going to be tired, especially come to a competition, will take advice and pay for the services of someone to help them with the nutrition. Sometimes someone to help them with their training, but for the most part, they should know what the fuck they're doing, at least on that score. And sometimes, which is much harder to sort of get a handle on, what we call euphemistically prep coaches in terms of steroid stacks. And even the prep coach and the better prep coaches will quite often have you strip away the six, seven, or eight products that you're using and take you all the way back to the basics. And they will literally look at the cycles that you run before and they will say, what do you use when you're cruising? What do you use? What's worked best for you in the past? Cutting. Why doesn't it work for you now? And they slowly sort of look at, okay, you've changed, you've grown, you've got leaner, you've got fatter, you've got older. Is the user younger? Did they have a protocol that they were using with a previous prep coach? Why didn't that get them into the condition on the day of the competition that they should have been in? And so on and so forth. And the really, really top guys will even have you go for blood tests, see where your levels are of certain hormones, see if there's an issue with regards to your response, have you got underlying medical issues, and so on and so forth. So it can get very, very confusing. And it can be very tempting because you've read of Joe this or Jane that, running a certain protocol to mirror their protocols. That person needs to be exactly the same as you genetically. Your age, your kind of level of response, your experience in the gym, your good, we hope, nutrition and so on. So it gets very, very easy. It's too easy, arguably, Steve. It's much easier now to buy steroids than it's ever been. I've talked about how fucking cheap it is. We're going to touch upon that at the end of the show. And it's very, very easy and tempting, it has to be said, to want to throw the kitchen sink in, because we can kind of afford to do that now. We can literally, in a way, when we compare the prices that people were paying a few years ago, you really couldn't do complicated stacks of steroids and blends and whatever else because you couldn't afford to do that. Now, for the most part, we can. So it's a lot more tempting, especially if you're super hungry to grow, get big. Even at Monstro's level, let's be lean and muscular all year round. I can force my body to do that when he was already kind of that way anyway, even as a teenager. It's super tempting to be able to do that. The reality is you do not. You just don't. If, for example, and I use a testosterone example again, if testosterone in that fight, every time you run a cycle, and let's assume for argument's sake, they was able to push it out to almost three cycles per year, and if every single fucking time you added 5 pounds, let's average it and call it 12 pounds per year, that would be an outstanding result on the basis of you're going to train for multiple years. Every fucking year, just using one solo steroid and not complicating the money in the water, running an AI if you need to, having good nutrition and good training. If every fucking year you was having averaging the equivalent of 1 pound of new tissue every fucking month for the next 3 or 4 years, that would be amazing. Do you need to add other things in? I understand, and it's especially when I was younger, and I'm sure Steve was the same when we were younger, when we first got into the gym, the idea of adding 10, 15 or 20 pounds every stack. is a fabulous idea. I think there might even be an argument. I'm going to take it in the other direction for a second here, Steve. There is an argument that you will not, growth isn't linear. You won't add, shame as if you could, but you will not add 5 pounds of tissue every time you run, for example, that testosterone enhanced fake stack, and you did that for the next 4 years, Steve, 3 times a year. You would not add 4, 5 pounds of tissue every single time. But it can be tempting to want to try. And then you start to get into other products and other stacks and other cycles and blends and so on and so forth. But again, you need to be aware that your body's changed, your response changed, growth isn't linear. Think about where you started from to where you are now. Can you force this particular thing? I think one issue that we might argue, Steve, without being too preachy, it was we're seeing an awful lot of under 25, I've just seen a couple of examples in the last 2 weeks of very professional looking genetic freaks who are 19, I think in one example, and 21 in the other, 290 pounds, vascular as fuck, and they're not doing it on a simple, straightforward, single, solo form of testosterone. They're just not on injectable steroids. They're just not. So you do, again, you go, okay, guys, would you have had an amazing response because of your genetics with the single solo steroid? Probably. Does a typical person listening to this show that wants to be muscular, lean, stronger, etc., need to do the stuff that this 290-pound genetic freak's doing? No. Why don't you choose to do what's going to work for you? Ignore the crazier stacks and cycles and blends that the pros are doing and just get where you need to go without making it complicated. I think that's probably the best thing, Steve. Let me give you one more thought process here.
Yeah, go ahead.
So you and I both know that I've got this massive muscle building, weightlifting, powerlifting magazine and book collection. And going back to the 60s when steroids were first available, you would see adverts offering in American magazines, the European secrets, and in the European magazines, the American secrets. So for years, whether it was training, protein, specific nutrition, and especially as we're talking about today's steroids, there's this kind of idea that somehow we are missing out on a piece of information that no one's fucking telling us. So the idea that we can find out the secret stack or the secret blend or the secret combination of products that's going to transform us from Joe to Mr. America or Mr. Universe or Mr. Olympia has always been out there for 60 plus years. The truth is, and it's not sexy, and it's why we do this show, Steve, the truth is if a single solo injectable steroid, specifically testosterone, an example that I've given, is sufficient, then that's all you fucking need to do, guys. You don't need to complicate it. We're going to talk about ultimate products. We're going to say, well, you want to use a good company like Ultima, abso-fucking-lutely, Ultima Pharma, and why maybe all you need to do is just a single solo injectable steroid. Let's talk a bit now, but Steve, about those the list of injectables and what we'd expect to get from each one of those.
Well, I want to touch on a little bit about first cycle and different esters, short and long, before we get into it really quick. And then I'll give you the floor. So look, at the end of the day, you know, we touched upon different reasons above for first cycles and why going solo for first cycle is a really good idea. But it's not just for first cycle. Even if you did, you know, the whole thing and you run steroids and you took a break and you went back and you took a break, you came back. After my shoulder injury, obviously, I had to take a break from steroids. So when I came back, it wasn't a bad idea to run solo steroids in that situation. Or even if you want to just do something a little different, to run solo steroids that way. But at the end of the day, it doesn't hurt to re-educate yourself on these, whether it's your first cycle or your 20th cycle, and re-educate yourself and run them solo and just to see how your body reacts. Now, in terms of esters, and we're going to talk about Ultima Pharma solo options, and they have obviously their testosterones. They have many different testosterone esters. They have the nandrolones, they have the DECA and the MPP, which is nandrolone phenylpropionate, and the nandrolone decanate, of course, which is the longer ester. And they have different esters. If you take a look at what they have, you come on the forum, we'll lead you in the right direction of where to get Ultima Pharma, but you'll see different esters. So what does it mean? What's the difference between short and long esters? And really, I simplify it this way. Esters that are short need to be injected more often because they're in and out of your system quicker. So what happens is when you inject them to get a more balanced effect where they're in your system consistently day in and day out or hour by hour, you want to inject them more often. Like I'll give you an example. Test propionate needs to be injected every other day. Some people like to do it every day, but every other day is good. Even every 2.5, 3 days would probably be good. I have a lot more respect for esters than other people, okay? Because I've seen more blood work than other people. So I know that your blood work will be okay even if you do it every 3 days. But every other day is going to be most optimal for most people. Now, if you're running a longer ester like testosterone cypionate, it's got a much longer half-life. Every once a week would be perfectly fine and it'll be in your system the whole way. And it's going to, but here's the flip side that the, it's going to take longer on a longer ester to reach peak in your system. So testosterone, I always say take the half-life, multiply it by 5 and you'll get the number. So let's say on testosterone SIP, it's a 10-day half-life, which I've seen numbers from 6, 7 day half-life to 12, 13 day half-life. But let's say it's 9 or 10, just let's say it's just 10, right? So I can make it simple to explain this to you. It's gonna take 4 to 5 times that half-life number for it to reach peak in your system. So we're talking 40 to 50 days before it's peaking in your system. That's a long time. That's over a month, okay? But if you're running test prop, it's got a much shorter ester. It's only gonna take about 1.5 weeks to reach peak in your system. But here's the other way to look at it. When you stop taking it on your last injection, it's going to take that much longer to be out of your system. With the shorter ester, it's going to be out of your system quicker. Now, that may come be beneficial for those of you who want to keep your cycle shorter and you want to recover quicker to run a shorter ester for that reason. But on the flip side, if you're, you know, you want something that's more value, it's going to be in your system longer. Once you stop taking the test SIP, it's going to be in your system 40 to 50 days longer. And then it's going to be, you know, quickly kind of drop off a cliff and be out of your system. So some people like that, especially back in your day, Mobster, back when injecting was more taboo, where they didn't like injecting, that worked really well for them. That's why back in those days, they loved using things like Primo and Deca because they had a long ester. Primo, of course, has an N-ethate ester. And then the DECA, of course, is the nandrolone decanate ester. Literally, the name DECA is from that ester. Super long ester. We're talking 8, 9 weeks in your system after you stop taking it. So those, it's very important, guys out there, to learn esters and understand esters. Because for a lot of you out there, it's hard to understand and it's hard to get it. Because let's say you get a headache, you go take an aspirin. You take the aspirin, usually it takes about 30 to 60 minutes, your headache goes away. It works instantaneously. It's also out of your system within hours. So if your headache comes back after 5 or 6 hours, you got to take another aspirin, okay? But with steroids, they have esters, and the reason they add esters is they slow release in your body, slow release. So it's not something like an aspirin where you take it, within boom, within 30 minutes, boom, it's peaking in your system. No. With steroids, it's a slow release.
Yeah, you've got the whole doctor thing. We've talked about specifically, and I don't want to go on about it too much, the original medical uses for most steroids, and in fact, the medical uses for creating longer and shorter esters. And one of the things that you sometimes see happens, guys, any of you listening to this show that watch any of those medical drama type shows, will know exactly the sort of thing I'm talking about. So an MD, let's say this, I'm trying to think of that famous medical show with the British actor. These guys are training for 10 fucking years, and they're not even endocrinologists. They're not specialized in blood. They're not specialized in hormones. They're just really good doctors. And then at some point, they specialize. That's another 5 or 6 years. So you've taken 15 or 16 years to get to the top of your trade. Then you've got the patient in the bed, and he's been given multiple medications to treat some horrendous medical condition. Let's say, for argument's sake, as per this show, they're giving him some sort of steroid. What do we see them do, Steve? They will tweak the doses. Typical dose, for example, of Advil or ibuprofen for Steve's headache, 200 milligrams. Paracetamol, if you've got a bit of a temperature, 100 milligrams, whatever the fuck it is. Occasionally, if you've got some fever or some particular medical issue, you'll go to the doctor, and the doctor will actually say to you, no, no, 200 milligrams is not going to cut it, boy. You need to run it a little bit higher. And the reasons for that, again, are age, body fat condition, the specific medical thing that you're treating, and so on and so forth. So that when we go back to the steroids, we have the same, because we have to think like doctors in that particular way. Is this appropriate dose for me? Is this appropriate product for me? Do I want to run a shorter rest or a longer rest? A good example here, and we'll talk about esters a little bit again, because we're going to talk about products that we run solo. The greatest example that we used here, Steve and I have covered this multiple times on different shows. We said, if you've never used Tren before, and if you're not aware of the side effects, that's probably something we should talk about a bit as well, Steve, the side effects. If you've never used Tren, we do not recommend you use the longer forms, the longer esters of Tren, because for some people, it is the best thing ever. Once you use Tren, you won't go back. It's almost like a joke, a trope. Tren is gold, Tren is God. But for those of you, and this is quite a lot of people listening to the show, the side effects can be God fucking awful. Now imagine, and this is a great example here, Steve, never used Tren before, but you're taking other steroids. I would have you run Tren solo, and I would have you use a short form, for example, the ACE form. Because at least that way, if you do that, and it's fucking shit. I hate sweating, Steve. Mobster, I'm kind of irritable all the fucking time. My missus doesn't like it. Steve describes using Tren as a relationship breaker-upper. Sweating in bed, having to change the sheets, all that kind of vibe. At least this way, you haven't got to wait for it to clear in your system and get the fuck out and be done, because you're using the ACE form. It's going to be like... at the most, Steve, as you said earlier on, in your system very quickly, peaking very quickly, and out of your system, arguably in days, maybe a week. But if you were using an enanthrate version, now you're, oh, God, it's not even peaked, and I feel like shit. Do I carry on taking it? No, because I feel goddamn awful. But now I've got to wait weeks for the last residual effect to leave my body. So absolutely, this is another reason again. And is it because you use Tren with something else, or you ran Tren solo? So listen, certain product. Look, one of the classic ones we talked about before, Steve, and again, I'm touching upon side effects. There are certain things you can do to negate the side effects, but again, is it because you're using the combination? Would be, for example, Winstrol and the way that it can dry out your joints. Do I change the dose? Is it because I'm using other products that might also be lessening my body fat? Am I, for example, using stimulants or clean? Am I using other bits and pieces? So let's run through a few here, Steve, with some suggested. And again, this, guys, this would either be for a first cycle or you've done a couple of cycles, but you're running these products solo. So Steve, give us, I mean, I've got the list, but I've got it out of order. So give us the All first right. one, and we'll go back and forth.
Let's start with testosterone. That's the most common used solo steroid out there. You can run it anywhere from 200 milligrams up to 1,000 milligrams a week, depending on what your goals are. Keep in mind, though, it does aromatize into estrogen. So in this situation, if you wanted to just run it by itself and not take anything with it, you're going to want to run it on the lower end of the dosage. But some people, even at 200 milligrams, may end up with estrogen issues. So I highly recommend Ultima Pharma, Aromasin, Ultima Pharma, Arimidex. And that doesn't break the solo steroid, because those aren't steroids, those are drugs. So you can add those, and that will give you good results. By the end of the day, the average dosage, Mobster, 400 to 500 milligrams a week. Yep. And yep. Then 8 to 12 weeks, it just depends. We talked about esters earlier. If you don't mind injecting more often, you can go with a shorter ester, keep the cycle more 6 to 8 weeks. If you don't mind going longer, you can go 10, 12, 14 weeks. It just depends on what you're looking for. What do you think?
I was going to agree, Steve. And the only reason, again, we might, for example, suggest a propionate or a short rest version, competition cycles, also your condition, and again, personal preference. All things being equal, the classic argument here, Steve, would be for the enanthrate, and again, as Steve, for the 8 to 12 weeks. But remembering, as Steve said earlier on, that it's still in your system for a little while in terms of peaking and leaving your system afterwards. I would absolutely, I don't care. I mean, we've argued just in recent shows about how people can be more estrogen prone. At the very least, guys, have an AI, like Steve just suggested, on hand my preference would always be
Yeah, so another one that a lot of people used back in the day, Solo, even up into the 90s, they were using this Solo. I talked to so many old school bodybuilders who used DECA and NPP Solo. And the reason they did that is because it did not aromatize as much as testosterone. So aromatized at fifth as much as testosterone. So really, really good one. And a typical dosage you can do is 200 to 400 milligrams a week. It's going to help increase your appetite. It will help you gain lean to moderate muscle mass. Now, a lot of people say, oh, you can't run DECA or MPP solo. Well, look, you can. You can. I promise you, it's still going to give you good results. So you don't have to be scared to run DECA or MPP solo. It's not the end of the world. It's not going to kill you to do that. The next one is Equipoise from Ultima Pharma. And look, really, really good option. It will help you build lean muscle mass. It's also really good for endurance. I've used it solo to help me with endurance. If you wanted more bodybuilding, 400 to 600 milligrams a week is solid. But if you want to do it for just endurance, you can run at 200 or 300 milligrams. And that would be a surprisingly good steroid to do it that way. And the nice thing about Equipoise, it doesn't mess around with your cardio, it doesn't fuck with your cardio like some of these other injectable steroids. And it's the best one. If you just want to focus on cardio, that is the best one to use. Absolutely. The next one we're going to talk about is going to be Trenbolone. And Trenbolone, look, this is one that you definitely don't want to run as your first cycle, but it most certainly can be ran solo. I've done it solo several times. And it's great solo because it allows you to just focus on the Trenbolone. And Trenbolone is great for cutting, it's great for recomp, it's great for bulking, it's great for strength. It's great for all of those things combined. You could almost do all of them together on Trenbolone. It's a tremendous, tremendous steroids. Five times more androgenic and five times more anabolic than straight testosterone on paper. And in real life, it certainly is. So one of the good things about Trenbolone that I really enjoy is you can run it at 250 to 300 milligrams a week. And you'll have excellent results on it without having to use another steroid as part of it. So it's a great, great option. The next one I want to talk about is Masteron. I talked about it earlier in the show. At the end of the day, if you run it solo, 250 to 500 milligrams a week, it's just going to be something to harden you up. It's just something cosmetic. It's really not going to do much for you in terms of your vascularity. So, Mobster, I touched upon DECA, Equipoise, Trenbolone, and Masteron. Why don't you touch upon your opinions on how to run those and running those solo? Because I know that you really love DECA and
Yeah.
touch on those four a little bit.
So, arguably, Steve, DECA, no, I wouldn't run it solo. It's a thing that I'd also thought about Primo. I wouldn't run Primo solo, purely and simply because we know how some of these things work. For example, with DECA, we know that some users will have issues with balancing the androgenic versus estrogenic effects, and we need, arguably, in that particular situation, to have something with it to help balance it out. And an AI is not going to cut it here. Tren, yes, I think you could run it solo. In fact, as I said earlier on, I would absolutely run it solo for the, if only for the first time. What was the other two, Steve? So Masteron is a good example. Steve Katz touched on it earlier on. Would I run Masteron solo? No, for the reasons that Steve said earlier on. Other
Equipoise.
things. Equipoise. Equipoise, I would. And in fact, arguably, I've got that on my radar at some point in the not too distant future. Where are we now? January. Probably after the spring, I might run EQ solo, purely and simply because I've never run it before. And again, to see the effects on my body, see what happens as the sun comes out. I should get slightly leaner naturally anyway, and so on and so forth. What I'll probably do with Equipoise EQ for short is run it for a shortish period of time, regardless of the ester length there, just to see how I get on. I can always change my mind if the cycle doing really well and I feel that I'm progressing very well. Dosages, Steve. I haven't actually looked at EQ. What would you think here? I'm thinking 400 milligrams as a solo off the top of my head.
Yeah,
what
I already
would you
went
do
over. Yeah, I ran over them. I think, and as I said, if you're running,
from, you know what, you know my physiques and my stats, etc.
So tell us about tell us about your opinion on doses. I've already went through what I think. What do you think? The guys want to hear from you.
I'm just trying to think how I personally would respond to it, Stephen. And obviously, we could argue that whether we're talking about the average Joes or mobster, how would I get on? So, for example, all things being equal, and for the average Joe, yeah, I think you could run EQ solo. In fact, I recommend it. If I'm going to do that for myself as over 300 pounds, and the average listener is going to be sub 200, maybe around the 200 pounds-ish, or between 180 and 210, run it solo. The idea that you're going to get a little bit more vascular, a little bit more leaner, shouldn't have too much of an impact on your cardio. And again, no crazy dosages needed in that particular example. Let's do the dosing within the trend, Steve. Again, Steve touched on this a little bit earlier on. For me, I know because I have used a shorter form of trend in what I've done. Typical user again here, Steve. Especially solo. No more than 300 milligrams a week. Again, first time user, never run it before solo. I'll perhaps even touch upon the idea of using it if you have used it in the past and still running it solo. I would again keep to around the 300 milligrams, maybe push it up to 450. If you have run it and you do like it, let's push it up again. Again, average user versus the guys that are crazy and really, really like trend. We've seen dosages up to 1,000 milligrams. And again, perhaps if you've never run it that high before, that would be a good idea to run it solo. I'm going to say that for the average person listening to this show, between 450 and 600 milligrams a week, probably because of some of the impacts and other side effects that come with trend, regardless of the form you're using. I'm going to suggest in this example, while we might say, for example, with testosterone to run it longer, 8 to 12 weeks, I'm going to say with the trend guys, especially first-time users, even if you get on well with it, even if the side effects don't feel too brutal, keep the trend use short. I think there's too many overall potential health issues and markers for health impact that comes from trend versus other steroids that my preference would always be to suggest it for shorter periods of time rather than long. So no 16 or 20-week trend cycle, Steve. Fuck that shit. NPP over DECA. Or DECA again. I like DECA, as you know. I would run that with other products, but if I was going to run it solo, and I did say earlier on why I wouldn't, but there might be a use or two out there. Again, it's a shorter acting ester, quicker in, quicker out, quicker clearance, quicker peaking. 8 to 12 weeks seems to work for me, Steve. And let's go again. I'd run it slightly higher than I would if I was running it with Sustanum. So that I'm looking at around, I think it's a little bit about 350, 375 combined with Sustanon. Let's go a little bit higher here, Steve. Push up to about 450, 500. Again, perhaps, especially if you're out there using it for the first time over that particular thing. What else are we looking at here, Steve?
Yeah, in Primobol, and you touched on Primobol a little bit. So
yeah,
it was
that's
used,
an easy one.
Yeah,
sorry,
but,
that's a very
but,
easy
but,
one.
But it was used solo back in the day in the golden age. They loved that it didn't aromatize. They loved that it helped them lean muscle mass. So every reason why people today don't want to do Primo solo is why they did it Primo in the first place. So it is said, though, that it is sort of a waste to run it solo because you're missing that androgenic kick. So I've run it myself, but I've run it with a little bit of testosterone just to give it that kick. So if you do run it solo, I just feel like it's a little bit of a waste because it's so weak, you know. But if you're just looking for that little bit of lean muscle mass, just to gain like 2 or 3 pounds.
A little bit of a polish.
Yeah, just a little bit. Then you can go ahead and try it at 200 to 600 milligrams a week, and that is going to be fine. But you're not going to get that androgenic kick, and it just seems like a waste of money, especially
today. I'm going to agree, Steve. Yeah. I think,
but I get why. And but the talk about in the golden age, though, why they used to like Primo Bowl.
Yeah, well, just to the observation made on the modern usage when people have run it so, and then I'll 100% talk about the historical side. So, look. Occasionally, someone will come onto one of the forums and they will say exactly like Steve just said, I ran 1,000 milligrams of Primo and I barely got anything out of it. I only added 2 or 3 pounds of muscle. Well, number one, 2 or 3 pounds of muscle is not that bad, really. It's new tissue, guys. But you're having to run Primo, and Primo, it depends where you are on the world, can be relatively expensive, especially at 1,000 milligrams a week, compared to other steroids, which will give you more results for less dosage and less money. But at the same time, some people still love Primo's quality and polish. I'm going to agree with Steve. I think there's better options. And like Steve said, the historical stuff that we've touched upon in the past, it was quite simple. The guys would bulk up in the off season and then do what we would consider to be now, Steve, kind of dramatic cuts, meaning they go from zero jogging and zero cardio to now they've got to do 1 hour a day. We've seen extreme examples of people, even in the modern age, who've left it to the last minute, talking about four hours of cardio on the Stairmaster. Fuck that shit. But again, some of the better athletes, I'm thinking of Arnold and Frank Zane, even Franco, et cetera, they wasn't really getting too out of shape. That kind of was more of a 70s and 80s thing in terms of actually getting fat. You can think of Lee Priest, literally pictures of him with his belly hanging out and eating a burger, Steve. And I've seen photographs. I think I've even got a VHS cassette here of him at 275 or 280 pounds at 5'5", bulked to fuck, the size of a house. But there's no lines, there's no muscle separation. He just looks like an exaggerated silhouette with pink flesh in between. Huge and kind of impressive in its own perverse way, but there's no quality there. And yet, of course, we know he used to get into shape. So the reason Primo was so fucking great then is that, imagine you've gone and done, like I said, one of the traditional 60s/75s, golden era bulkers, and you've put on, including fat and water, 45 pounds of tissue. If you're very, very, very lucky, 20 pounds of that is new muscle. You've done all the big lifts. You've used other steroids in the winter time of your season, and you've bulked the fuck up. Now you're going to have to do one of the dramatic cuts. And the problem with a dramatic cut is that you end up losing some of that 20 pounds of muscle. Not only have you got to drop down at least 25 fucking pounds, which in and of itself could be a pain in the ass, and you arguably, which is another reason, might have left it to the last minute, so now you've got to even more dramatic shit, like diuretics, even the older versions, and do the fucking crazy diet, and go out and run on the bloody beach, and do all the other stuff, and 4 hours of cardio. The problem is that tends to strip away some muscle, and you also almost end up with a stringy look. So Primo was great at that particular point in time, Steve. And what are we looking at there? I'm going to say probably around a circa 300 milligrams, but I would want to confirm what else they were using and the other dosages. I don't think too many people was running a gram total of anything back in the day, whether they were using D-Bol or Primo or early forms of testosterone and a few other drugs that were available to them. It wasn't crazy cycles. Only a handful of people was pushing the envelope. And what the great thing with Primo was that they held on to tissue. Now, if he was already in shape, if you didn't get 20 pounds, 25 pounds more fat and water out of shape, you're only holding 5 or 10 pounds, those people would be the ones that talked about the quality, the polish, meaning they start to shrink wrap the muscles. There was a handful of guys that were able to do that around that time. They had kind of abs almost visible. Now the abs are coming back in. Now they're getting under 10%. What those guys, what you were really looking to do, and it's what we almost try to do in the modern age, Steve, they kind of had what we call a full look at the same time as being able to see their abdominals, their serratus, their intercostals, the separation and the fire. Some of the photographs we see from that time don't do them justice. And just using Vince Guaronda as a great example, Steve, there was a man that was ahead of his time. I guarantee Vince was using something, and I wouldn't be too surprised if it would be the earliest. He was 100% keen on cutters, the earliest kind of Primo with some sort of cutter-type steroid at the same time, and then very, very restrictive in terms of his diet. This is a guy that was doing the sort of eat loads of eggs, playing around with different variables with other people disagreeing. But he was way ahead of his time in terms of the condition. Frank Zane, Steve, that you mentioned before, there's a person that didn't need to get too big, didn't add loads of muscle. Probably his absolute fucking best was 185. arguably be barely a classic competitor today, but absolutely would be looking to add polish. So that is a person, again, I can see using something like Primo at moderate. What was he was described? One of his nicknames was the doctor, because he was super analytical with dosages, super analytical with bringing vitamins in and trying different things at different times. Never got crazy out of shape off season, but he would stand in certain positions and you would say, there's the winner. So again, guys, look, it depends on your physique. It depends on your condition. So I'm looking at stuff like this. And again, one of the things we talk, why do we talk about sometimes, Steve, you and I, the golden age? Because as human beings, we haven't genetically changed in terms of our response to testosterone or Primo or Tren in the last 50 or 60 years. Some of those weren't available 60 years ago, more like 20 or 30 years ago. But how genetics, our response to them, won't have changed. If there's an argument, you change ever so slightly in your gut flora. I believe that's been proven. And perhaps because we're on other medication, and probably because more of us are predisposed to have higher levels of body fat. So that's what Steve and I have covered on other shows, the reasons why the more bigger percentage of our listeners are going to be out of shape compared to, say, 50 or 60 years ago. So again, your approach might differ. But overall response to genetics, overall response to steroids should be the same, should have the same kind of steroid receptors and so on. I think arguably, Steve, there's an argument. The reason why we're doing this show is that far too many people that are coming in read about all these combinations of stacks and blends and whatever else, which are available to you. And it's great that they are, but you don't need to go there straight away. If you can use something solo and still get great results, why the fuck shouldn't you? The final clincher for that particular thought, Steve, is it's cheaper. Save yourself. The blend's quite good prices, Steve, but you don't need to use five or six steroids if you can use a $500 or $600 or $700 stack, even if it's solo, a steroid program, and just keep it really, really simple, very, very straightforward. I think the ultimate argument here, Steve, is thus. As I said earlier on in the show, I think we tend to sometimes try to overcomplicate things. Let me give you a very simplistic analogy. Steve and I have actually used this example previously. You have your car, and you become a bit of a car guy. And let's say, for argument's sake, you took the engine out, put a bigger engine in, put a new exhaust on it, changed the gearbox, and put new tyres on it. You wouldn't have any idea how that fucking car is going to perform until you got into it. If, however, you just change one or two things and then drove it, you'd start to get a feel for what's different. Those are tyres grippier, is there more power at the bottom end, and so on. When we talk about the simplistic approach in nutrition, the same thing in the gym. If I completely change my training program and I suddenly start adding pounds and pounds of muscle tissue, is it because I changed it? Did I need to change all of it? Does something that I was doing before still work, and so on? And again, this is where coaches come in. This is where prep coaches and nutritionists come in. They do not, or almost never, unless you're really, really fucking up, change every single thing that you're doing. So the simplistic approach, the solo approach, can be, I would argue, Steve, should be the most sensible thing that you guys can do when it comes to using steroids. Start there before you make it complicated. Start there before you bring in other bits and pieces. That makes the most sense to me. What do you think about that, Steve, in terms of this sort of maybe complicated old school versus new school approach?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, they'll say, you know, you have to run testosterone every cycle. And I think it's a mistake to be so close-minded on this stuff. You know, at the end of the day, running testosterone with a cycle is more gear. So that may be a good thing, but it may not be a good thing either. And some of you react really well running some of these other steroids without testosterone, running them solo. And many of you are listening to that and you're in shock. You're like, I've always been told that I must run testosterone as my base. I must have testosterone as my base. Testosterone is natural, all this stuff. And look, at the end of the day, some of that is true, but most of it is not true. When you're injecting exogenous testosterone, it's still made in a lab. Okay, it's not actually real testosterone that was extracted out of a dead body and then injected it into you here. So we have to remember that's still made in a lab. So at the end of the day, you can't make that argument and say, "Oh, testosterone is naturally found in the body," because it's not the way you're injecting. You're injecting it. It's something that they made in a lab, and then they made it into an oil, and then
And
you're
you're not
injecting
doing
it. See what I'm
CRT,
saying?
guys. You're not replacing your natural levels. You're almost certainly doing what we call super physiological
Well, it
levels.
doesn't. Yeah,
More.
the, either way, it's still not true. So you can't make that argument. So, all the years I've argued this with people, and I used to be one of those people too, Moss, when I first started out. Oh, you have to have tests as a base. You have to do this. And then someone really wise person who's a veteran. He's probably dead now, but he was a veteran for 40, 50 years using steroids. He's like, "No, you don't." He's like, "Most of my cycles, I don't use testosterone. I run cycles solo. I run this solo, I run that solo, or whatever. I don't use testosterone." And I was like, "Okay, let me try it out. Let me see if this guy really knows what he's talking about." And I tried it out, and I was like, "Wow, yeah, it works fine." So at the end of the day, if you want to add testosterone, great. If you don't, great. At the end of the day, it's hormones are hormones. It doesn't matter if you run this steroid or that steroid, or hormones at the end of the day. So, and then one more mobster that we want to get to is injectable winstrol. And this is also found with Ultima Pharma. And it's found, a lot of people like to use it as tablet form, but you can take it injectably and you can drink it, of course. But look, injectable winstrol, if you do want to use it and you want to run it solo, I don't think it's a waste. I think it's a much more plausible than using Basteron solo. Just keep in mind, you're going to get cut up and dry out on it big time. So 25 to 50 milligrams is what you need, and what you want to do ahead of a vacation or a photo shoot or something like that, or a wedding, you could do it that way, just like 4 or 5 weeks left before that date.
Per day, not per week.
Oh, okay. I said per week. Yes, I apologize. So per day, of course. Yeah.
You gave the dose daily dosage, yeah.
So Ultima Pharma, look, they have you covered. Let me get into why Ultima Pharma is so special. I'll let you talk about it, Monster, before we finish up the show. So look, Ultima Pharma is a fantastic brand, been in business for many years. What I really like about them is the deals that they have. They really do a good job of putting out really good products and offering good discounts. So you can definitely look for that on the website. They're trusted by professionals and normal gym rats alike. They have excellent customer service, shipping, and they are excellent with their prices because they have that pricing power. So Ultima Pharma is excellent. And all these brands that we talk about on these podcasts, we put our stamp of approval on them. They're excellent. You come on the forum, you can find out where to get them. And Ultima Pharma is definitely in that league.
Make sure you come onto the forums for the most up-to-date domain addresses, because as Steve and I were talking about in the pre-show, we know that one of the best sources for Alton products has just changed its domain. So we will always have the most up-to-date address for you guys to go and search for these products from. Look, Ultima is one of those has you covered in terms of single applicable injectable steroids like we've discussed here, and then the blends. And I'm going to ask you, Steve, because we've done so much of this show about using a product solo just to see the effects, etc. Make sure you have a good, at least, basis of understanding of what's worked for you. Make sure you use the proper Ultima product for your specific aim. And again, come onto the forums and ask us what's the best for what I'm trying to achieve. Again, we can talk you over the idea of using which Ultima product at the right dosage that's appropriate to you. Again, no need to dive in at the pro end. But what do I like about Ultima? Again, for the same reasons as Steve. One of the things I said a few times with a couple of the approved sources that we've looked at, and Ultima is a great example here, Steve, is I like my medical-like products, and I'm including steroids here, to look like they come from the pharmacy, what we call the chemist here in the UK. I want to go in there, and the products that I see behind the pharmacies in the cupboard that they get your prescriptions from, and they bring them over to you and put them on the counter for you to take away. They all have a certain look. You all have a certain feel. And when you're dealing with steroids, I don't, again, Steve and I are old enough to remember the bad old days, the examples. We've seen photographs of products with insect wings in. Peanut oil, we talked about. I even did that in a study recently, for fuck's sake. The idea, so you're going to use an oil or a carrier that's going to cause an allergic response. You don't get to last in this game, so to speak, Steve, if you're not listening to and putting out the appropriate products of a high quality. Again, you and I are old enough and ugly enough to remember people having abscesses and having to go to ER or A&E in this country and be treated because they use a product that wasn't clean or wasn't sterile or caused an abscess and so on and so forth. I'm going to say now, Steve, I couldn't tell you, listeners, the last time, especially from any of our approved sources, including Ultima, the last time I saw a photograph of someone with some god-awful abscess that required treating. And the reason for that is that the quality as a whole, and specifically when we're talking about Ultima Pharma today, companies like Ultima Pharma are quality. They have the right dosage in the product. And again, what have I said on other shows, Steve? Don't just take my fucking word for it. Come onto the forums and argue it. Show me examples where someone has had a product tested. And I'll put you in touch with other lab tests. And literally, independent customers like you, the listener, that has ponied up their own money and gone off and got products tested. And that's going to include Ultima, where they've done that and had the product come back clean, sterile, and correctly dosed. That's how you last. That's how you reduce a great reputation. And again, just to finish, Steve, quite simply, with the idea that you're producing products that people end up fucking recommending and using again and again and again and passing on to their buddies and having shows like this to talk about, Steve, you do that because you lasted in industry. You've built up a reputation. You've literally been around for 10, 15, 20 years. You and I have done the history of these kind of stuff, and we know enough about the game that when I first become interested in PEDs, companies would go build up, be amazing, and disappear in a year. Even now, we see some fly-by-night companies, and we don't have them on our forums. If they come on the forum, they've gone in 2 or 3 months, they are never heard of again. Literally, come in, grab your money, fuck off. You don't last this long and produce the quality of products. And not only that, Steve, it's just to do what they've done is hard work. To build up that reputation is hard work. They are not going to fuck you over now, guys. They are looking to produce solid products that you're going to recommend to your buddies because you got great results from. And we know that's the case. Again, come on the forums and check it out. Put the word Ultima Pharma or the Ultima Pharma into the search on all our forums. See it come up. See people running log. See people using those products. See the results they get from those products. And you'll have proof for your with your own eyes of how successful and how properly dosed and how the results that these people are getting from using companies like Ultima Pharma. Please note, we are not doctors and opinions of ours. It's our view based on our experience and views on the topic, a podcast for informational purposes and entertainment only, the freedom of speech and the First Amendment.